Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to invite you to the Pipeline Conference. The theme of this year's conference will be succession at every level. The event will be held October 11 through 13 here in Nashville, Tennessee. The focus of this event will be succession all the way from senior leadership at a church to the preschool and even the parking volunteers. That means that this conference is for your whole leadership team and any volunteers who you'd like to join you. Our speakers will include John Piper, Bob Russell, H.B. Charles, Tom Rayner, and more. Again, this event is October 11 through 13 here in Nashville. We will have separate coaching days on October 11 and 13, with the main event being the 12th. These days provide your team a chance to get focused, engaged training from our team. We have early bird discounts running through July 31st, so there's still time to take advantage of these, along with our fantastic group rates if you want to bring your team. Go to myleadershippipeline.com to learn more about the event and to register your team. Again, that's myleadershippipeline.com, and don't forget to take advantage of our early bird and group discounts before July 31st.
All right, welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions. I'm your host, Todd Atkins. This is the last day of Design to Lead Week. I'm so sad. Aren't you?
Yeah, man, I am kind of sad. This is the 5th one.
Number 5. Kevin has been with us all week long, and he and Eric have written the book, Design to Lead. We've walked through all the major pieces of the book. So it really starts out with a really strong introduction. If you could read this introduction without underlining 5 things and you come to Nashville, I will buy you a burger.
Boom.
I've just said it right there. Nice. So it starts out really...
Eric and I have countless unnoted copies. So does it count for us?
No, it does not. But I'll still buy you a burger if you come to town. Really, what is a leadership locus? The importance of the church being the leadership locus of a community. Next, moving into the conviction for leadership development, then into the culture, finally constructs. And today, we are going to pull all that together to give you some practical takeaways. So, Kevin, what is the net result when one of the 3 pieces of the framework that you all have laid out isn't working? So conviction, culture, constructs. Conviction without constructs leads to frustration. Constructs without conviction leads to apathy. Constructs without culture leads to exhaustion. So what are the net result of those things?
Yeah, you know, the net results at the end of the day is you're just not going to develop leaders over the long haul. So many leadership development efforts can be stunted, in the short term by just lacking constructs. That's always going to, in the short term, keep you from developing leaders. If you lack the constructs, even though if you have the culture and the conviction, you're going to get exhaustion. You're going to get frustration. You're going to get those 2 things if you lack either, if you lack the constructs, but you have the conviction and the culture. But even in the long run, if you lack any of them, you're not going to get a sustainable model for leadership development. Because if you lack any of them, the system kind of falls apart. And that's what we're trying to communicate in that. You're going to feel things like frustration, and you might be able to kind of back out what you're missing. If you've got frustration, then that probably means you've built this awesome system, but nobody's passionate about it. Mm. Maybe a senior leader's not passionate about it. Or you're going to build this awesome like construct, but like the church doesn't care about it. You're going to feel exhausted just trying to slam people into it. Or maybe you've got a deep and abiding conviction, but no constructs. Like people are going to be frustrated with you because you're going to cast a compelling vision for them to be developed as leaders. They're going to want to get in on it. They're going to feel like you're forever selling the car, but never giving them the keys. All of these, what we're trying to articulate in this is that if any of these 3 things is missing, you can be sure that over the long term, you're not going to find yourself producing biblically informed and biblically solid leaders for either your church or the public society as a whole.
Good deal. Well, okay, I'm gonna move over to you, Eric. So we laid out, you know, when one of these 3 things is missing, in each case, you either have frustration, apathy, or exhaustion. in each of these cases, what's the best response? So if you are in a church and you have conviction without constructs, so you've got frustrated people, what's the best response there? And then go through the other two as well.
Well, if you have conviction without constructs, not only are the people frustrated, but really the ministry leaders are, because they go to bed at night with this dream and this conviction to develop leaders, but there's not a tool for you to bring that to fruition. And so the answer there is you actually have the most critical element, which is conviction. It's the most critical. And so you do the hard work and the patient work of pulling some people together and developing some constructs. The other constructs without conviction leads to apathy. That's honestly where I think Kevin and I fear that leaders will go after reading the book, which is they'll jump to the end of the book, they'll grab a pipeline, they'll just disseminate it out to some people, and they won't do the hard work of developing a shared conviction for we must develop leaders. And here's what's going to happen. People are going to look at your leadership pipeline or your leadership development plan, and they're going to receive it with apathy because they don't believe we need to do this here. And so you really have got to do the hard work of developing a conviction that you can articulate yourself as a leader, and then bringing other people along in that. And then constructs without culture leads to exhaustion. Here's why I think this happens is because if you value dozens and dozens of things in your church, and leadership development is just one of those dozens and dozens of things that you say you're valuing, then you're bringing your people tons of things to do. And so in the culture, leadership development's not a primary thing or one of few primary things. It's seen as one of hundreds of things. And therefore, it's just really, really met with exhaustion because there's so many other things to execute. So at that point, leadership development needs to take a more primary position in the culture.
Good deal. So, Kevin, which of these three, conviction, culture, or constructs, do you think is the best place for a church to start who wants to begin developing leaders?
Yeah, I'd echo what Eric was kind of alluding to in that last bit. Conviction by far for us. And the reason why I'd say conviction is because constructs are going to change over time. Culture is always going to have ebbs and flows. It's going to have different generations, different people. It's the conviction that's going to help you continue to press towards flourishing and press towards results and developing leader despite what changes may occur in our context. So by far for us, it's conviction. If the leader believes that to do this is to be successful, or at least part of the success equation for the church, then it can't stop there, but it can't be less than that. So we would say conviction, because that's the harnessing power of making culture change is going to be a convicted leader. It's going to be one of the main things. And then to build constructs, it's going to be costly. It's going to be hard. And again, that's going to require a pretty significant conviction on the part of the leadership body.
Good deal. Well, I'm going to go ahead and ask our fourth question. And I know it sounds like we're going super fast, because I think we're going to camp out on this question for a little bit. One of the most pervasive questions after someone came to our conference, people came to our conference, the Leadership Pipeline Conference, and they may have come to a coaching day, and they start to really process, the core pieces of the book. I mean, we lay out conviction, culture, constructs during our coaching as part of Leadership Pipeline. They have this question. Can this framework of leadership development be implemented in a single ministry area, or does it have to be church-wide? Eric?
I think the leader who asks that is very wise, because the leader is realizing this is a big deal.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I have the authority to go in and say this for our whole church. And so that's a leader who's wise, a leader who understands his or her role in his or her current church. And so I think that's when someone asks that question, it's a very measured question. They know how significant this is, that this is not just something I get people to sign off on.
This is another program.
No, this is a big thing. And so my answer would be absolutely start with your area. In fact, that may be the best way to influence the whole church anyway. to get it piloted in one area to show fruit, to show, wow, people really do respond when there's clarity. And so you have a leadership development process in the kids area or the student area, or the groups area, or the missions area, whichever area. And people, they're going to find liberty because of the clarity. They're going to find commitment because they know what they're committing to. Now, I would do it in a way in which I would go to my supervisor, my senior pastor, and ask, hey, here's what I'd like to implement in my area. Are you cool with that? And when they say, and I mean, they would likely say yes.
Yeah.
They've already delegated responsibility to you, and this is great, right? You're going to help raise up and develop leaders. And then I wouldn't go in and say, oh, and by the way, this may be something everybody wants to do because I'm so awesome and everyone's going to love it when they see it. That now you're not walking in humility, you know? Now, and so do it well.
What the kids call a humble brag.
Yeah. Execute well. And then when people see it and they want to start, they want to implement as well, give them tools. Give them the tools without saying, hey, will you now admit that I was right the whole time? Why didn't you get on this earlier? That's not the way to really serve the church as a whole. The way to serve the church as a whole is to ask for blessing to implement a development process in your area. And then when others want in, you give them the tools. And then, and even, here's even the best thing. You point back to the vision of the church. You point back to the leadership of the senior leaders so that it really can take deeper root in the church as a whole.
Kevin, do you have anything you want to add to that?
That was actually just really helpful for me too, just kind of thinking how to help people along as they try to do this. One of the things that we often just try to encourage people, and I think Eric actually was said this really, really well, but maybe a helpful way to kind of remember it is just put some points on the board. I think that's really important for you want to win quick and win obviously. And I think that's going to help people around you see the value of what you're trying to accomplish. There is not anyone in God's church who doesn't think that we ought to be producing leaders. It's varying degrees of whether we think it's worth the cost is the issue. And so in your particular ministry, if they've delegated it to you, number one, they've delegated it to you, so you don't want to lose. So don't try to rush through a pipeline, but make sure that you have fully formed leaders as you hand off tasks. Take responsibility for their product. But in the meantime, be able to capture the stories of where they started and where they are now. And so that people can kind of see a clear win out of as the product of these ideas. And I think, just like Eric alluded to, then when people come knocking and go, wow, this seems fantastic, you just kind of say, man, it's been helpful to me. We've been really happy with the results. Here's the tools we use to get from A to B. Can I help you? I really think that's just a great posture and a great approach to seeing an idea start in one area of an organization and organically grow throughout it.
That's excellent. I think, you know, we fail so many times to, especially people that are more wired to be on the administrative side or the process side, so many times we forget the why, and so many times we forget to tell the stories and really celebrate what's happened. And I think the what I learned in this situation is, man, the importance of capturing those stories before and after so that you do have, you know, that opportunity, like we talked about earlier this week, to be able to almost testify about what something has meant in somebody's life and to see how it's really beginning to bear fruit. Okay, last question for Eric. It's easy to think about the hard work of initiating change, but how can a church continue as a leadership development locus over time? So like, how do you stay?
And we just need to celebrate that we've done five questions. So this is the 25th question. So if you're still tapped in, I just want to say this is a perfect example. This is a perfect example to end, because you're saying how it's hard work and it takes time, and you have put in the time.
You put in the time
by listening to all of these. So it really, I just want to underscore how much time it does take. So think about this. There's two things that we know take a lot of time. changing a culture takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And leadership development takes a lot of time. So we're talking about changing a culture that values leadership development. You are taking two things that in and of themselves take a lot of time, and you're bringing those together. And so this is definitely this is a long run play. Uh-huh. We're trying to get this burst of whatever by in the next 3 months. This is a long run play that we're gonna build a culture that really develops and deploys leaders, but it's so worth it. And a church that wants to do that over time, it's got to be a deep conviction that they hold, and they're willing to pay the price of time. They're willing to pay the price of investing in other people and of not longing for immediate fruit.
Good deal. Kevin, I definitely want you to add to that.
This is a 26th question then.
Well, no, it's the same question.
Oh, okay. He's just adding to it.
I'm just letting him add to it.
Yeah, I think the primary is exactly what Eric said. The amendment I would make is be prepared.
Amended.
I got amended. On the last question. You don't even get a chance to redeem yourself.
He's ending the thing amending me.
Amendment. I didn't say it's the final amendment. We got a bunch of them in the U.S. Constitution. I would just say, we're going to need to commit resource to it. I think when we look at the church as a whole, we have tons and tons of dollars invested in performing ministry rather than preparing people to do ministry. And that shouldn't be so. And so for us to do this over the long haul, it means it means aggregating resources for people to do this. It's not a side job. It's the job. And so when you have people who have a lot of responsibilities for programming on Sunday, just bear in mind, Sunday comes with alarming regularity. Like, it's really hard to get out of the weeds. And so you're going to have to commit time to somebody who can stay, as it were, kind of above the fray of the Sunday in and Sunday out, who can drive towards things that are so crucial, like leadership development pipeline programs and mapping and constructs, but at the same time that they can actually stay above the fray so that they can work on those kinds of things without getting kind of sucked into the urgent things of today. It's just so important, and I think it's difficult because you're not going to see immediate return on this. And as Eric alluded to, like we're microwave culture. We want to see things happen quick. But just think about yourself for a minute. How long has it taken you to become the kind of leader you are today? If you're listening to this, that was not a 6-month program. It wasn't a 12-month program. It took time, and it's going to take. And no matter how good your pipeline is, it's going to be a mid-range to long-range payoff for the kind of leaders that are going to make a meaningful impact to your current bottom lines. And so I think you just got to commit to the process, invest the resources in it, and then take the long view of God's kingdom.
That's so good. Say,
I want to amend. I'm joking.
give me your, it's not a line, but give me the perform versus prepare sentence again.
Yeah. I think a vast majority of our resources in the local church are spent on performing ministry rather than preparing the saints to do the ministry themselves.
And I really think that that's a great place for us to end on. It's kind of where we started with the church becoming a leadership locus. That's never going to be a performance-based church. It's always going to be a church that is coming out of a posture of preparedness. So just thank you so much for listening this week. Thank you, both Eric and Kevin, for running the gauntlet of five episodes in a row. But thank you very much for being here and contributing such great content. Thank you for the book. And we look forward to having you both back on again in the future.
Dude, thanks for it, man. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
All right. Well, listeners, as always, please go to iTunes, leave us a rating and review, and tell your friends about us. We'd love to talk to them too.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Don't forget to visit myleadershippipeline.com to learn more about our fall conference, October 11 through 13 here in Nashville, and to take advantage of our early bird and group discounts. Again, that's myleadershippipeline.com, and the early bird deadline is July 31st, so move quickly to take advantage of these discounts.